The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle. This is the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Today is August 20th, 2015, and we are sponsored by Dr. William Wong's Essentials. As you know, Dr. Wong is on every month here, and what can I say about him today? Great guy, known him for years. He sponsors me for Iceland. His shows are very popular. He's not politically correct, but I'll tell you what, this guy puts it right on the line. He's not afraid to do anything, and I thoroughly enjoy him, and we are going to try to get him on twice a month. We had talked about it, but he's just a very busy guy, but it's not for lack of not trying. Maybe near the end of the year, maybe 2016, we get him on, but I can tell you this, he loves the show. I get emails from him at least two or three times a week, and it's great. So go out to www.docsprefer.com and tell Dr. Wong I sent you. Many people from the show have gone to him, and he calls you back. Everybody does here. Next is Hearts Collision there. This is for New York State residents, upstate New York. HeartsCollision.com, 518-477-7937. Lori and Alex are very good friends of mine. As if you know, little Al is training here. He's 10 workouts. He's 6 pounds up. We're going to put five more on him for basketball, but he is going to get into the strongman genre with me. So wait till you see this kid in the spring if he goes right through it. I don't find any way that he won't. He's an excellent kid, great student, and it's going to be a lot of fun to have somebody like that on board. So we'll keep you informed, and you'll see more and more video of Lil Al. 518-477-7937. Tell them Motivation Muscle sent you. Next, we got Sorenex.com, 803-978-2253, extension 111. As everybody knows, they sent me their diamond bar, which is oversized, which you can pull in the power rack or press overhead. It is one of the finest bars I've ever used, and I thank Richard and Bert for their generosity and sponsorship. Obviously, if you've been listening to the shows, Bert's on every month, and his father, I try to get him on every few months. I'll tell you one thing, man. I've talked to him offline. It's like you don't even want to get off the phone with this guy. He just knows so much stuff, man, and he's a great guy to talk to. So, Sorenex.com. Next, go out to Fiorello Barbell Co., Top 10 Ways to Build Mind and Muscle. It's a free ebook. No frills, lots of thrills, and it will make you think. 10 paragraphs of thought. Take action and go out and try them. At least if anything, it might make you want to train harder and get your goals. And that's what it's all about. So go out and download the Top 10 Ways to Build Mind and Muscle. Don't forget the Winner's Circle. That's our big product that's almost done and coming out. That's going to be 12 modules of me talking from 27 to 34 minutes. All about from my beginnings right through to power rack training, you know, my love for the rack, sandbag domination, the return of iron boots. I mean, you're going to get the attitude of me like you hear on the show, but amped up even more, you know, just about the winning ways of life, you know, not to give in, not give up, no matter what. You know, you're going to have a lot of that. And you're going to have routines in there with every one that you can take pieces of it or implement the whole thing. And obviously, you all know how to get a hold of me, FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.R.com. Don't forget, when you sign up for that, you're going to get into our intensity training videos. They're all free to look at. We're also out on YouTube. I think everybody knows that. And sponsorship's a big thing here. Fiorello Barbell Co., go out and click sponsorship. Obviously, we want to be around at least 25 years. We want to work with everybody. We want to make big, lasting relationships. $300, the price is going up. And I was just telling John, who's going to be our guest today, that we are now, for every sponsorship, $30 goes to muscular dystrophy. We spoke with them at length the other day. The $30 will go for shots, flu shots for these kids because they're so vulnerable, their immune system. So, you know, we have something right in concrete where that money's going. Join with us. You can build our brand. We can build your brand. And if you need that done, Chris can do that. That's an extra fee. And this brings us right into monsterdevelopment.com. Chris Bigelow does everything here. You can get a hold of him at 800-687-1609. Well, today, we have another first-time guest. And I've been doing this a lot more lately because, you know, we had Brian Zurich on the other day. A lot of the guys that are doing some big stuff, not necessarily world-renowned, but a lot of people can really connect to this. And John is going, he feels like now he wants to move into the intermediate phase of training. And, I mean, I've seen pictures of him with stones, lifting, you know, that type of athlete that wants to get bigger and stronger and progress. And that's what it's all about. So we're going to bring John in today in one moment. But we're going to talk about, we're going to, you know, as you know, with all new people on the show, we lay foundations. And this is going to be very interesting because John can kind of tell us what he started out with, where he's going, what he wants to do, what his mindset is. So these are great ways for anybody out there that might be starting out or getting ready to move into the midpoint, possibly going to the big extension of training, which I'm sure John probably will go, is it's like this stuff, you can't stop, man. When you really love it and you perform well and you have passion, you can't stop. So, John, welcome to Motivation and Muscle, sir.
Thank you very much, Eric. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Well, it's good to have you here. I'm glad to see you're here. And, you know, tell everybody a little bit. You know, I guess I'll ask you this first question. And this is a question I use on my five all the time. I usually have five questions for people that, you know, I've talked to on a continuous basis. And in the shows, they love doing this. But here's the standard question, and I get all different answers. Why did you take up weightlifting? And let's take a little walk through the beginning, and then let's get right into the intermediate phase, what you would like to do, what you plan to do. Would that work for you?
That works.
Okay, sir, hit it.
All right, well, right now I'm 32. I'm basically your typical average American male. I'm married to a beautiful woman. I have three kids, and I work two jobs. So trying to get in lifting is, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. When I started off, my son was four, and I was a fat guy. So I never wanted to give my son a bad idea of what a man should be. So I live in South Jersey. I'm 10 minutes from Philadelphia, and there's a local guy over in Philly who was really big into kettlebells and made tons and tons of video DVDs of kettlebells. So I really got into the kettlebell work first and really cut down the weight. And when I did that, I was really happy with the results, except for one thing. I wasn't getting strong. I don't see the point of getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning three times a week, doing all the work and not getting strong. So that's when I started searching around and found a lot of good information on serious strength training, weight training, especially with the older time guys. So with that, we were talking about how I found Bill Hinberg, I found Brooks Kubik, and it was just serious, no-nonsense stuff, no fluff, serious weight training, and once the bug bit, there was no letting go of it.
Yeah, well, you know, obviously, you know, Brooks and Bill's on here every other week. And, you know, these guys have been around a long time. I mean, Bill's been around in the weightlifting field for 50 years. You know, Brooks' big thing was when he did dinosaur training. I mean, that was his breakthrough with everything because it was a time when a lot of guys were probably searching or they hadn't heard about, you know, barrels and stones and chains and things like that. Or maybe you heard of it, but you need something put together that you can literally read and digest. And that was his big thing. And, of course, Bill really started Brooks out. If you talk to Bill, I've talked to Bill for hours offline. He had quite a bit to do with getting Brooks, you know, where he was in the beginning, you know, marketing his books. And Bill's a very, very smart guy. And if you talk to him, I mean, you know, I love talking to him because he's got a way about him. I mean, he's seen a lot of things, and I love talking to people like that, especially older people, because you can learn an awful lot if you shut your mouth and open your ears. And I like doing that. Plus, I like busting his balls too. He's a great guy. You got to get to know him, obviously. But I sometimes like to just to drive him crazy a little bit. But he's always very fired up to come on the shows, and I'm glad to have him on because not only is he a wealth of knowledge, he's a friend, man, and I enjoy that. But you know, you found two people obviously that have made a big mark in your life, John. Obviously, we want to talk about the intermediate stuff and all that. Where are you right now that you feel you're ready now for the next phase? And what is the next phase for you with weightlifting right now, John?
Sure. Right now, I just reached that 2-3-4 club. I got a 200-pound bench, 300-pound squat, and a 400-pound dead. So
nice.
Now I really want to incorporate the stone lifting, the yoke walks, the farmer's walks, the steel bending, and I want to progress myself up into that famous 3-4-5 club.
Yep. Well, let me tell you something. I know you listen to the shows, obviously, and if you've heard me probably for the last 6 weeks easily, I've come to the conclusion if I was going to do one thing, I mean, I love squatting, obviously, but if they said to me, you know, what do you want to do? You got one movement to do, and that's it for the rest of your life. I'd tell them to get me. I'd move to a rock quarry and give me a sledgehammer so I can break anything I want. And I would take and carry that stone in front of me, bear hug the rest of my life. And I'll tell you why. I think stone walking, you know, all the other stuff is great. Tire flipping, farmer's walks, all that stuff. I feel if you really make a commitment to stone lifting, you will change. You will you're metamorphically, or how do I want to say the word? Your metamorphosis to a whole nother you will happen because I'll give you the examples. You know, Bill Crawford's on here, and anybody that knows Bill Crawford, he's a doctor, as in an MD. He's been a writer for Milo for years, which is Randall Strassen's magazine, if anybody's not familiar with it. And Bill, to me, is probably one of the best stone lifters in the world. I don't say that lightly. This guy is just so accomplished, man. And he comes up with so many different theories of how to do things at work. And we got talking on many occasions about it, and he said, you know, before we all went in 2008, on the Viking Challenge to Iceland, that he kind of changed his theories on stone lifting, and he started stone lifting more and putting obviously the exercises in the weight room a little bit behind. And one of his main ones was the good morning, which worked so well with that type of lifting. But he said, you know, in the months to follow, his body was changing in big ways. His skin was thicker, his hair was thicker. He thought his eyebrows were thicker, his bone density was more, his muscles were big and sharp, his ligaments and tendons were sticking out. There's a lot of truth to that because I've done a lot of that, and now I'm doing it exclusively with the weights, obviously, and you have to temper everything at that point if you're out 2 or 3 days a week stone lifting, obviously. I think, and I don't want, you know, I'm not going to get off topic, but if, like I'm doing with Al here, I've had him carrying since day one. You know, now he's got the Husa steel crusher to carry because we made it light enough where we can load that at will. And I'll tell you what, I think that type of training translates over into your weightlifting better than anything else. But the thing is with that stuff, it's pretty damn hard. And when you got to lift stuff like that continuously and get yourself conditioned, you have to have a mental tenacity that's just dog, you know, you have to just go after it so hard all the time. And you got to know when to back off and et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, being a guy that, you know, you've got a lot of pressure on you at work and family, and you've got to go in and find the best things that work for you, because, I mean, two jobs will kill you right there, just your strength. John, I would say like this. I mean, I'm not going to give you advice, but I'll tell you this. If you're going to keep your weight training however you want to train or change it up, I'll give you my recommendation. You start carrying big objects in front of you, whether it's stones or sandbags, and I know the yoke and all that, that's fine. But if you just do carrying, and I mean devote yourself to carrying and add a few heavy weight movements, whether you want to do the yoke or heavy squats or pulls or overhead, I'm here to tell you, man, not only will you be bigger than you've ever been, you'll be stronger than you've ever been, and I'm telling you, you'll have a mind like a bear trap. So I just wanted to say that. I mean, that's just my feeling. You know, what would be your thoughts on that, what I just said?
Well, I'm definitely looking to incorporate it more, especially the stone walking. I have a friend who owns a local stone and mulch yard, so he hooks me up with great prices on stones. So I have five of them at my house right now that go from 60 pounds to 175-ish, roughly.
Awesome.
So there's nothing like the thrill. Because like I said, I lift at 4 o'clock in the morning with a buddy who comes over at 4 o'clock in the morning. So there's no messing around. I'm not getting up that early in the morning to not lift them. So to be there with somebody else who's equally as aggressive as I am, or yelling at each other or motivating each other, there's just nothing as exciting as lifting up that stone. It's something that it was created for a whole other purpose. I mean, who knows how long that stone's been around and what it's done before it was in my yard. And now I get to pick it up and I get to walk it around, and it's quite literally transforming me from the inside out.
Yep. And, you know, the thing is with stones, I mean, you know, no excuses. You either lift it or you don't. And that's what I like about things like that. It's like, well, I didn't get the deadlift because I was off today. Okay, you're off today. But you go and grab a stone, you know, it's not going to be an off day or an on day. It's going to be you lift it or you don't. And that's it, you know. And I guess you could equate them the same way, but I don't look at it the same way, mainly because of the balance of a bar and the plates and all that. It's a little bit different. It's a very primal lift, and I've been doing a lot of things. Bill and I talked about this, you know, grip for any of these big stones. If you go to lift, you have to have an enormous grip, because a lot of these stones, especially like the Husafell, it's tack. It feels like, you know, baby powder, basically. It's that smooth, and there are really no handholds. And by that, I mean, there's nothing to put your fingers into, basically. This thing, you've got to have fingers that would just go through that stone to hold it, obviously wrists and forearms, because this thing is 418 pounds, and you've got to be able to walk 50 meters around a sheep pen, and you're not walking on balanced concrete or blacktop. This thing goes up, down, and around, and it's not an easy trek. So the idea here, especially, is to train the grip, and obviously I've got grip stuff all over the place. But we were talking about some of the best stuff, and really the best way to get the grip, especially the fingers, is just take like that 50-pound stone of yours and grab it. And I pull it up in a bent row position, and I dig my fingers in there till I can't dig anymore. Maybe hold it to a count of 10, count of 20, drop it. And I went out to the hardware store, Lowe's, and bought very short sledgehammers, but they're rubber, you know, the top's rubber where you would strike the object. But I oversized the handle a little bit, so I take one of my tires, you know, with a lighter sidewall, and I beat the snot out of that with both hands until I can't hold it anymore. Then I go over and grab the stone again, and I could do 5 rounds, 10 rounds, depending on what I've got left in my hands and fingers. Well, I can tell you, just doing it now the last 3 weeks, and Bill said the same thing, because he was mainly just manhandling stones for grip. literally, your hand looks like it almost doubles in size. I mean, it's huge, man. Your fingers, and it doesn't look like some guy with a fat hand either. It's a big, muscular, calloused hand that you, when you look at it, I mean, if you shake somebody's hand, they're going to feel like they shook a vice. All right, so that's why I just beat this subject right into the ground, because I think, especially money-wise, you know, let's face it, a lot of us lifters don't, you know, we don't have a lot of money to spend on high-end equipment. Well, you can go to any country road and find stones. You can go to any river and find river stones. And how much does sand in a sandbag cost? Nothing, basically. You can make a diet, a steady diet of strength, power, and size just doing that. So, you know, in that respect, I love that stuff. I mean, I love the speed of walking, you know, distances with it. You can do all – well, you're going to see. When we have all these Husa steels running, I mean, I run barrels. I run them with chains. I run them in a power rack. All stuff that we built to accommodate this. It's pretty cool when you'll see the first one, which is 225. They come at about 185 empty. And this has got shot in it right now, the first one. You know, you could see me going 20 feet with 225 and then loading it to 325. Going 10 feet, pull it off, go down to the end because I've got a 95-foot driveway. And then we come up and grab the new one, which, you know, at 100 pounds. I might come down at 100 pounds at a full run at 95 feet. So, you know, I don't see any way that you're not going to get big and strong training like that. And not only that, it's going to have – you're going to have an accomplishment mentally that I don't think you can get from many things. What do you think on the mental end with stones, what you've messed around with? Do you feel it's a whole different mental thing as far as lifting weights, or how would you clarify it, John?
It definitely needs the mental side to it, especially with as early as I lift. It's not easy to wake up, do your stretching, and go outside and lift up the big stones.
Right.
But I got somebody who lifts with me who's just as crazy as I am. And we basically yell the same thing at each other when we see our mind starting to go. We yell at each other, why are you here? It's 4 o'clock in the morning. Why are you here? You're either going to pick it up or you're going to go back in and you're going to go to sleep. Having him there yelling that at me, I mean, there's no going back, because if not, I'll never hear the end of it. So he's there, and whenever I'm not mentally sharp, he's there to make sure I am. And, you know, I got his back too. So you definitely need that mental toughness.
Yeah, without a doubt. Now, how are you going to – I mean, do you have all the equipment we were talking about? Do you have a yoke? Do you have the stones you want? Do you have the implements to do farmer's walks, et cetera, et cetera? Is this all stuff you're going to have to purchase?
What we have right now is we have a power rack with the bar and the weights and trap bar. I have the farmer's walk. I have 5 stones, and I have 2 kegs.
Nice. So you're just going to have to get yourself a yoke.
Yeah, that's the next big purchase we're saving up for.
Yeah, I think that's great because, man, you know, you can build such a physique with that stuff. And it's like the strength and power and the idea that you go out at 4 o'clock in the morning is pure dedication, too. I mean, you're working hard. You got kids. You got wife. You know, you got things, a lot of stuff going on. And that's the stuff that, you know, you can become very great off of. I mean, you know, down the road, maybe you want to go into a strongman contest. I mean, you know, it doesn't hurt to try it. I mean, that's what we're going to do with Al next year. I mean, I'm planning on, you know, if he's going to go all the way with this, he's going to be with me all winter, and I'll be, you know, walking outside with stones and deep snow. He's going to, you know, and I think he's got that type of mentality where he really likes it. And, you know, I've already told him, I'll do the scheduling, what we're going to do, because he'll train with me like he'd be going in events, going away with me, which will be great for him. And he'll get everything what we got to do, but I'm going to let him run the show, basically, unless I got to step in. Because I think for a kid that age, you talk about great training experience and how to run something. Because I do with him now more than ever. He's going to do a show with me possibly within the next 2 weeks. We got to just work some things out. And I'll interview him right on Motivation and Muscle. And he's kind of a reserved kid. Nice kid, man. You know, good family. But he's coming out of his shell big time now. I mean, I'm on him to the point now where I have him explain to his father and myself what he's doing, what the rep range is, and what this does to your body. Now, that's a lot for a kid 14 to bear, because most of them, you know, you're going to go, oh, who cares? Well, it's not this way with him. And every time we're going there with him, I see a change in him. And I know the word is confidence, and obviously that's a big factor. But he's getting comfortable now in his own skin to be able to speak in front of people. That's a big thing, man, because if I'm sure you've been around enough people. Very few people are very confident and able to speak in front of a group. They won't do it. They're afraid. When you can take a 14-year-old kid and start shaping him like that, I expect great things out of him down the road, whether it's weightlifting or just business or whatever, because he's going to have a foundation. And, you know, we always talk about the lifting foundation, but the mental foundation is more important, because the lifts aren't going to go if you don't have the mental tenacity to pull it out and do it. Because I can tell you, you know, I could have stayed in last night. You know, you're talking 100 degrees in the garage. I could have stayed in Sunday night, 102. But I won't. See, you build a different style of thought, and you, Mike Gillette and I were talking about this yesterday. It was unbelievable what we were coming out with. It's like you don't want to let yourself down. And it's the same way with you going out at 4 o'clock in the morning. Think about how many people could even rouse themselves out of bed, let alone get dressed and go out and lift iron and stones. What, 1%, 2%, 3% maybe? You're not going to probably go over 5%, I can tell you that. That's a big thing in itself. So if you can instill these things in a young man or woman, they're going to be light years ahead of the game, and that's what we're doing here with him. And I plan, you know, if things are going to go the way we're planning, I mean, I'll have him by May. He'll be at a 190, without a doubt, the way I'll set him up and the way he'll have to eat, because we haven't even scratched the surface here what I'm doing with him. We're building the foundations now. So I guess the question is this, John. Obviously, training at 4 o'clock in the morning, you have to have a certain disposition that's different from people. We know that. But in the time you've been doing this, what have you seen as far as mental growth with you? What can you put your thumb on a few things? What is it you feel that's changing you as a man too with all of this?
I definitely learned discipline. That's one thing. To get up that early in the morning to do everything that I have to do, part of my responsibilities. I also have to get myself to bed early and on time. So discipline that I've learned from just waking up and from lifting have definitely moved over into all aspects of my life. So that would definitely be the number one, I would have to say. Mm-hmm. Outside of that, same thing you're building in this kid, confidence.
Yeah.
With as strong as I'm getting and as mentally focused as I am, I know there's not a thing that I can't accomplish, and that's moving over to all aspects of my life. Whether it's at home and I'm doing things, or it's at work and projects come up, I know without a shadow of a doubt that I'm going to get it done, because if I can do this, I can do just about anything.
And does that, for everybody out there, okay, and I'm going to comment too, and then you hit it. Tell me this, doesn't that feel damn good to be able to enjoy life like that?
It's fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, do people really understand what we talk about on this show? I hope so. And the ones that even, I know people that don't do a lot of lifting listen to the show just because of the motivation in the show. But I'm telling you, everybody, if you haven't lifted weights or stones or sand, because as we said in the very beginning, you can construct, you know, I can construct a 5-pound sandbag. I mean, it doesn't matter. Just get started. You're going to find a new self in you, and the things that used to bother you aren't going to bother you anymore. And the things that people say you could care less, and you're not going to need to get involved with all the, you know, the wah, wah, wah stuff. It's going to be like, you know what? As my dad always said, be a leader, not a follower. You're going to end up starting to become the lead. That's very important. And I just can't go through life any other way now. I mean, you know, it is in my DNA, like everybody else. But the best thing is, it's like when you can capture the essence of all of this, and you're always going to keep learning and growing with it. You got an opportunity to pass on. Now, I don't know. I mean, this is going to be an interesting question for you. You have children, obviously. They know what you do.
Yes.
Are any of them intrigued by it? Or are they too young? Or do you see any of them maybe saying, hey, Dad, you think I could come out at 4 o'clock in the morning with you, maybe down the road? What do you see? I mean, your children have to look at you different because you said you were overweight before and you didn't want that anymore. So they've had to see a new you. Do you hear comments from them, or is it still just a little too early?
Well, I have two different groups of children. My youngest are 4, and they're twin daughters. So
okay.
Some workouts do have the luxury of being in the afternoon or the evening. So the picture that you saw of me with the stone the other day, that was that was around 7 o'clock at night, and I had my daughters in the backyard with me, and they were seeing me lift the stone, and little Madison comes up, and she goes, Daddy, I want to take a picture of you with the big stone.
Nice.
So that was nice. And then I have a 7-year-old son, so he's the one that I don't know if he remembers or not, but that was the reason that I decided I had to make a change. So sometimes when we have the later lifts, I always invite him on, and a couple months ago, he says, Daddy, I want my own barbell. So
nice.
We started looking on Craigslist, and I found this awesome, awesome old man down in Vineland about 20 minutes from me. And he had the most beautiful basement I've ever seen. And he sold me a Milo barbell set with 150 pounds of weight for $125. So he's got his own barbell set. And even though he doesn't use the weight, he just uses the bar. I'm having him go through the regular motions once a week, and he's loving it.
Good. And, you know, a nice thing with your daughters, too. Girls, especially young girls, I have 4 nieces, and my brother-in-law is a big guy, weightlifter. He played semi-pro football, and he's a varsity football coach here in a suburban school district. Girls need to see strong men in their life, and it doesn't necessarily have to be weights, but they need to know the value of a strong man, so hopefully they go out when they get older and make the right decisions because it's based off the men they've seen. And my nieces especially, I mean, we're always playing something and they're very good athletes already. They go from 13 to 8. And I'm very happy about that because those relationships I have with them, not only do I want them the rest of my life, but I want them to know that when you go out and you meet a man, or a young man, you know, when you're in high school, the date, that maybe you're going to base it off your father and uncle, which most girls do. It's very important, especially in today's day and age. There's a lot of twisted stuff out there. I want, you know, and I know everybody makes mistakes, but if they can base off their manly relationships with all of us, I think they're going to be in good shape, and that's great that they come out and see you, because when they're here, too, you know, if I'm out in the back, they always come out. They're always interested in lifting something, and I think that's great. I never push, but if they ask, you know, I'm going to come to them for sure because I think it's not only beneficial, but I like to see kids that are in nice shape and take interest in things like that because there's no point of going through the world weak, as I say, and I mean weak-minded, too. So I applaud you for that. That's a hell of a thing, and, you know, keep it up, man. That, you know, those little minds you shape, man, it's a great thing. It really is, and for me, it brings me so much joy to be around them, you know, and to just have fun with them without being pushy with them. The next question is, this is good. What I mean, do you have a weightlifting movement you like the best at, you know, whether it's a bench, deadlift, whatever. What do you like? What you know, if you're not lifting stones, what do you like to do with the weight room?
I'm a sucker for squats.
There you go, man. There you go.
I like to squat every workout. So it's never a question that me and my buddy will have of if we're gonna squat. It's just how much we're going to squat or how many reps we're going to squat. I just love the squat.
It's the greatest. Do you ever do, like, you know, you've read in Brooks and you've heard me before. Do you ever do any of the dead stop stuff? Have you ever tried it?
I've read it, and I've come to the conclusion that I don't know everything, but the people who write the books, especially like him, they know what they're talking about. And every time he writes about dead stop squats, he always says, don't do it unless you're advanced. So it kills me when I read it, and you had a nice post on there the other day about dead stop. And one day I know I'll get there, but I don't think it's smart enough for me to start it yet.
Well, I'll tell you something right now. Obviously, you squat a lot. You know how to squat. This would be my recommendation to you. On your squat day, when you've finished everything, have your training partner, you know, get a yardstick or, you know, a tape measure, and get in a parallel position. With you can put a bar on your back or not, or cross your arms in front of you, and have him mark the footage. Okay, so he's going to measure, obviously, from your butt cheek down to the floor. You know, at that position, your parallel shot. Okay, then you're going to obviously set the closest range in your rack to that. I would say don't go below parallel. If anything, go a little bit above. If, you know, it's a half an inch to an inch, it's not going to make a hell of a lot of difference. At that point, you'll put your long rods through there. So, say for the day you've squatted 350 for five or whatever, and you're done with that. What I would tell you to do, this is a great way to start it. Start initially at your parallel spot. You know, get yourself lined up. Chalk yourself up like you're going to dead stop 500. Start putting that in your head. Implement it already. Crawl under that thing, however you got to get under. Get yourself as even as possible, and he can probably tell you. But you'll be able to judge yourself when you come up. And I would tell you right now, I would start him right now. I would start implementing one set at the very end into every squat workout you got. Now, if you do it like that, and build that one set up, you know, obviously it's going to be very easy for you with a 44-pound bar. You know, the next workout, you put 5 pounds on it, and five, and five, and just keep tracking it like that. And I'll tell you something, John, before you know it, you'll be moving 100, okay? If you do it like that, I'll put every dime I got on you that you'll be able to put, or I'll help you, I don't, whatever you want to do. You can use one of Brooks's routines. I guarantee you, you'll be a beast. And if you can start getting under those things and then start implementing, maybe, say you're doing five, I don't know what you're doing for your workouts, but let's just say you're doing five sets of five. Well, suddenly now that one set you're doing can become two sets, and you'll be down to three of, you know, the typical rebound stuff. So that's how I would tell you to implement it, and I don't think that you'd have any trouble. I don't think you'll get in any trouble at all. So that's just my opinion, and that's what I would – that would be my gift to you today.
I appreciate that very much, and I'm definitely going to start including it.
Yeah. But remember, I'd only do – you know, if you're going to squat three times a week, I would probably only do that once a week. I wouldn't start doing it every workout until – you started getting, you know, you get a little bit of weight going. You know, you got to get basically your pathways going with that. Once you can get that, you know, and safely, then maybe you want to have maybe just one day where you're going to dead stop. And if you're doing it three times a week, then maybe you're going to have to cut your reps and sets down and run maybe one at 60% of your max with the rebound. And obviously, if you want to do the rebounds, you know, you're going to have to figure out on a heavier day what you want to do, because if you're going to start doing a lot of dead stop work, that's very concentrated. So you have to be very careful, obviously, of overtraining. But I think adding one set to that workout you want to do, you're going to love it, man. I am telling you, get under that thing, you're going to feel like a beast, even with an empty bar. You'll come off that thing like a shot. And once you can get that all put together, man, oh, man, you start even implementing that once a week, once every 2 weeks with your other squatting, you'll be a friggin' beast. I mean, you will be so strong, and that will hit you from head to toe big time. And your body would be like, what the hell is this guy doing to me? So I would think about that. And, you know, if you need any help, you tell me. I'll help you out. It's be cool. Squats, obviously, are you an overhead guy? Do you like doing anything like that, or a bench, or what do you like to as far as that end goes?
Sure. My lifts are generally just my overhead press, followed by
great
squats, bench,
yep,
row, end it with a deadlift.
Love it. I love it. Rows, I'll tell you right now, here's a tip if you haven't read or heard. Become very good at rows. They're going to make you a hell of a lot better stone lifter. And I mean that. Start rowing. Row, row, row. I'm telling you right now, it'll translate to your stone lifting big time. I row a number of ways, obviously. I like to use car tires sometimes. Obviously, it elevates it a little more, but it's a lot of fun, especially when you let them go. You know, it just bounces and stops. Deadlifting, obviously, I've got Sorenex's trap bar, which, in my opinion, is the best trap bar I've ever used. I just wanted something that I could put in the power rack to overload. There's a couple other companies, and we were going to make one, and they were like, why bother? We'll send you one. Exceptional bar. You know, I think the thing could probably load to 1,000 pounds if you wanted to. And the nice thing about it, you can press overhead with it, which, you know, starting a bar dead stop overhead is a phenomenal feeling, especially when you can hit it at any area in the power rack. So that gives you another foothold over everything else. It's just like there's just so many things you can do in that rack and be safe, and that's why I like that. You know, other than the barbell, that to me, that's the best piece of equipment that was ever built. I mean, what could you go into where it's fully safe, you can fully overload and get anywhere you want to get? There's not much out there like that. So I love that. Next thing, where do you see yourself a year from now? I mean, obviously you're getting into the intermediate end of everything. What would you like goal-wise to hit? Is there anything in the weight room that you want to really nail? And let's talk about how big of a stone would you like to pick up within, you know, the next 6 months to a year and walk with?
Well, although I read about the stones and the barrels and the kegs, I didn't really get into them until I heard you speak about them and then all the amazing people you had on there. And
yep,
especially over the course of the last 8-9 months, you've been talking about going to Husafell and listening to that stone. So
yep,
me and my buddy actually don't really have set in stone goals, but the goal is we're the same age. For our 40th
yep
birthday, we want to lift it. We want to lift it, and we want to walk that 50 meters.
Yep.
So
yep,
I don't have short-term goals, and I want to be lifting this much this year and this much next year. Just the long-term goal is 40th birthday, I want to pick that sucker up and I want to walk it around that bend. I want to put my hands around the same stone that the strongest men that have ever lived have picked
yep
up and walked.
That's a hell of a great goal, too, I'll tell you that, because you do that, you'll never be the same again. You walk on that Icelandic turf, you're not the same whether you touch that stone or not. You know, you don't know who's been there before. You have some names, and many big names have gone over there and failed. That is a stone that, you know, is just waiting and daring you to come get it. And it's like, I see that in my mind's eye every day, and it's like there's some days it's like it's almost impossible not to stop thinking about jumping on Icelandic air and going over there right now. It's got a foothold on me for sure. And it's just like a big magnet. I always feel that there's some type of draw from that thing that's trying to pull me back to it, because it definitely goes back to a different time, obviously, in the world, and different ways that men, you know, used to show their strength and power. And it was a big honorable thing to go over and do something like that. So once you get a taste of that, man, you're going to want to go back again, I guarantee it. It's that type of thing that just gets the blood flowing through the body. It's just like, I don't know, it's a constant reminder of what being a man is in a different time span, different time frame. So I think that's fabulous, man. You want to do that. I mean, that's the whole point of training and lifting and living. It's to go over there and just, you know, anywhere, just go do something different, you know, make a mark in the world, you know, show people that, well, you don't have to show anybody, but show yourself that you're better than a lot of other things around you, and you want to be better, and you want to help others, and you can create this type of environment anywhere, anytime. So it's a great thing, and, you know, I applaud you for, you know, making a goal of that, because that is a monster goal. You pull that thing off, man, and it's like, you'll never be the same again. It's just that way. John, you got anything else you'd like to add? Because we're just about up with time.
I got one little story for you.
Yeah, shoot.
Last month, my wife turned 30, so we went on a vacation, just the two of us, to Mexico. We were at this all-inclusive, adult-only resort. Really, really nice place. We upgraded to the anniversary packet, so we didn't have to worry about anything, and they included it in a gym membership. So I figured I'd go and I would do the gym while I was there. I walked in and I haven't seen so much chrome since I was at a car show. You should have seen. So I went down to the beach and I had a lifeguard take me just slightly off the property. And I found this stone, probably about 100 pounds. And then for that whole week I was there, every morning that's the first thing I did. I went out there, I played with it. I picked it up, I pressed it over my head. I walked up and down the beach before everybody got there. Tell you what, it was the best vacation I ever had.
That is too, man. I mean, that's the thing. It's like the stuff you don't expect, you know, sometimes turns into the best pleasures in life, you know. And, I just think that, like Steve Jack says, there is a romance with a stone. It's different, man. It's just different. And you know, I hope we can get more and more people involved in this stuff and you know, liking it and growing with it and, you know, building a better will and you know, just being vibrant in your life and loving your life and your relationships are better. And it just follows suit. It, you know, anybody that, and I can't say it more, if you haven't done it, go out and try it. I'm telling you right now, go out and get a 25-pound stone. Just lift it and walk with it. Watch how exhilarating it is, feeling it. It's, I don't know. To me, it was the best thing I ever got into. And I would tell anybody, go out and do it and enjoy it. It's life-fulfilling. You don't, like you said, you don't know who's trained with it before, lifted it before. There's all kinds of things that you can think about, and I don't know. It's a euphoria with you. It's just, unless you have to go out and do it to experience it, and I would tell anyone to try that. John, I want to thank you for being on the show today. Is there anything else that you'd like to add? Feel free to, or anything that's going on, any events, anything like that. You know, lay it out. This is your forum. So if there's anything else you'd like to add, be my guest.
I just wanted to thank you. Being on the listening end for so long, I've been listening to you since November-ish. It's like being in a room with you and whoever you're talking to, just being in a room with friends and listening to you. And this time, instead of just listening, I got to participate and talk in a conversation. And it was really thrilling, and I really enjoyed it.
Well, and I'm glad you're on, because like I told you offline, you know, we don't care if you lift a 450-pound stone or a 100-pound stone. You're always welcome at my table. And as you found out, there's truth to it. You know, guys like you are what is really the backbone of weightlifting and stone lifting. You know, it's not the guy who, well, look, let's put it this way. When you make it to WSM or something, you've done some major things. But you know what? Not everybody is WSM. Not everybody is the Arnold. But boy, oh boy, there's a hell of a lot of great lifters out there that get no mention. And I want to get anybody on here that's not getting the mention, because I think guys like you are, like I said, not only the backbone, But you guys serve up a recipe where, you know, 14-year-old Alex could be listening to one of our shows and say, well, I want to be like John Patrick, all right? I want to learn what he's doing. See, this is what matters, because this is the stuff that's going to resonate with people that, you know, can't connect to a Brian Shaw, okay? They can't. They, you know, they like to watch it, but, I mean, they know they're not going to be, you know, squatting 1,000 pounds, all right? And maybe they don't want to do that. But when they hear us talking and you're saying, well, you know, I get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and I'm out with my training partner busting ass and we're making gains and we're having a good time and I haven't, you know, I want to go to the intermediate phase now, so that means we're going to lift a little bit heavier stone. So, you know, my 50 pound to my 275 or 250, you know, that's real edible to people. People can gravitate to that and understand that. And that's what we're all about, man. It's not, you know, we've had every style of lifter pretty much on here. You know, I think we're going to even be doing some stuff with arm wrestling down the road. All these things. And, you know, Moss, we already had Odd Hagen on here talking all about that. There's plenty of genres, but when we get down to it, I still like the basic weightlifting, the basic stone lifting. I think that's the formula for success. And if you choose to compete and go on that bigger path there, this is the base. This is the foundation of you. And when we have gentlemen like you on and a lot of other people that, you know, they're living the dream, but they have to work for a living. You, in your case, you're working two jobs. You have a family. It's not easy, all right? But you have the will and the tenacity and the commitment to go out and do that. Like I said before, I applaud you for that. And I thank you for being on the show. If you just hang on, John, I'm going to give out all the information. If you can hang on, I'd like to talk to you offline for a moment. This is Motivation Muscle. This is a podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. We're sponsored by Dr. William Wong's Essentials. That's www.docsprefer.com. Sorenex.com, 803-978-2253, extension 111. Obviously, HeartsCollision.com. Call them at 518-477-7937. Tell Alex and Lori I sent you. The top 10 ways to build mind and muscle is a free ebook out of FiorellaBarbellCo.com. Download that. Obviously, I talked about the winner's circle that's just about there. Be on the lookout. Both sites are going to change more. Chris Bigelow does all the work with that. You can call him at 800-687-1609 or go out to monsterdevelopment.com. Don't forget about sponsorship, FiorellaBarbellCo.com. Check it out. We'd love to have you on board. We'd love to work with you. 25 years or more, I'm in it. I'm in it to win it, as they say. I love doing what we're doing, and we're growing like crazy. We've got some great people aligned here. You heard one today. I can't thank everybody enough. Go out to FiorellaBarbellCo.com, MotivationAndMuscle.com. We're on iTunes and Stitcher. We've got 5-star reviews from everybody. Please keep them up, because that makes the show expand and go out further. We're on Facebook at Fiorello Barbell and Motivation and Muscle, Twitter at Fiorello Eric. You can get a hold of me at FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.R.com. And I'll leave you with three things, obviously. If someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, don't be afraid to speak to them. You never know who you're touching, believe me. You just never know who you're helping out. Who knows who we're going to construct, and that's the beauty of all this. Secondly, as my mom always said, don't be afraid to say hello or give somebody a smile. That might be all they get for that day. And last but not least, one of my favorites is this. Go out and lift some big hunks and chunks of iron. Take a stone and turn it into dust. And remember, like the new Hoosa Steel stone says, our crusher, we are domination. We are going to be over 1 million strong. I promise you that. And with people like John and Roger LaPointe and Bill Crawford and Mike Gillette and John, and on and on and on, on and on and on, we're going to get there, and they're all pulling, and we're all with it, and I can't wait. It's going to be the biggest day ever here. So stay tuned. We'll have a lot more for you, and I'll keep you abreast on what's going on with the company and we'll talk to you soon. I want to thank everybody for listening. So for John Patrick, this is Eric Fiorello. Thanks for listening to the show today, and we'll talk to you. Well, I'll be on in about 40 minutes. I've got another show, and then I've got one this afternoon, and we'll wind it up for the week. Everybody go out and have a good time, and go help somebody. So thanks, everybody, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.